We're glad you're here with us today on the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We pray God's word speaks to your heart today as Pastor Chapman Laxton shares the word with us.
We're continuing on tonight talking about the laws of the kingdom. And if you've missed any of our studies so far, we've been talking about how in the kingdom of God, there are laws. And there are laws that operate in this kingdom that we live in regardless, and that's a key word, regardless of whether or not we choose to decide that they apply to us or not. Like the law of gravity. Whether you choose or not to recognize that gravity plays a part in your life, it's going to be active. It's going to operate. And so we've been going on, and if you've missed any of our Wednesday night series over the last month and so, I really highly encourage you to go back and listen to those things. Because, again, the key thing there is whether or not you choose to apply these laws in your life, they will play a part in your life. So the best thing for the people of God would just to be, let's go ahead and let's learn as much about them as we can so that our lives can continue on and we can be quickened in the spirit. That'd be the idea in the start. But you know, tonight, I've got to talk about the law of greatness. The law of greatness is what we're discussing this evening. And I've had to hear, you know, Mel talk about some of the hard sermons that she's had to do, you know, an excretion and, you know, some really great topics, you know, and different things. But tonight I get to talk about greatness. And when we think about greatness, you know, a lot of times our thoughts go to poise, refinement, achievement, recognition, esteem, acclaim. And I'm not saying that those definitions of greatness aren't somewhat accurate. But it has to be said that if we only ever see greatness through the lens of how our world views greatness, the definition of greatness can be cheapened. See, what makes someone great? And it can be very hard to pinpoint, especially in today's day and age where our culture literally prescribes greatness to mediocre behavior in such a grandiose way. They're so great. Oh, they're great. Man, my son, who's in the third grade, he is great at basketball. She is a great singer. He's a great runner. Boy, he's great at that. She's great at that. And, you know, we all kind of can smirk and can smile at times where we kind of got caught up in the greatness that really was so-so, you know. But we look at, you know, this greatness that is celebrated in our culture. And if we really look at that person that we prescribe greatness to, they have very little lasting effects. Very little creation is made for the next generation through their greatness. You know, I think about so many of these athletes that are just so great. What do they ever do to help anybody else but themselves? Or these great actors, oh, they're great. Really? You know, the media and all the people and all the pundits try so hard to make us care about these achievements. You know, these obscure little achievements that these people get. And they want us to know how great they are because at the end of whatever year, whether it's sports or television or whatever, they have their own award show to remind us all how great they are. with these little awards, you know, best supporting actor or actress, best lead role, best lead role in a TV series, best, and we're supposed to believe that these people are so great. And what it does is we see people getting achievement, getting acclaim, getting esteem, and as we start to look at greatness through the lens of what our culture does, our very definition of what greatness is in our own life begins again to get softer and softer and softer. I'd like to say this. If the greatness that you are chasing doesn't pull others up around you with it, then your greatness is void of any goodness. And greatness void of goodness has nothing to do with God. I'm going to say that one more time. See, if your greatness doesn't pull others up around you, then it's void of all goodness. And if your greatness is void of goodness, then it has nothing to do with God. See, when we're talking about the laws of the kingdom and the law of greatness, are we concerned with how great we are? And the better question that we should be asking ourselves is, what good am I to others? What purpose do I serve in others' lives? See, with our culture in the world today, greatness is very one-sided and very short-lived. Greatness has more to do with personal achievement than who the person actually is. What we have to see and understand and recognize is that it's not so in the kingdom of God. See, the law of greatness and greatness in the kingdom of God is much different than what the world says is what makes someone great. What I mean is that the greatness that God is looking for in our lives won't leave you whenever your knees go out and you can't play basketball anymore very well. See, the greatness that I'm talking about doesn't leave you whenever, oh, well, I just don't have the voice that I used to have. See, the voice, the greatness that God's looking at won't be something that's just an achievement that you did 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 65 years ago. I mean, I can think about the old men that would sit around the gas stations and talk about old great teams and how great they were. What are the, is there nothing else great to talk about? Not whenever that's your definition of greatness. Luke 22, verses 24 through 27 is going to be our staple verse for tonight. Though I'm going to use other passages of Scripture to drive home some more points. But I want to take a look at this tonight. Luke 22, verses 24 through 27. It says, "Then they began to argue amongst themselves about who would be the greatest among them. And Jesus told them, 'In this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you it will be different. Those who are greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves?' The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. 'For I am among you as the one who serves.'" Jesus is teaching a concept that has gone to the wayside then. So don't feel bad. Don't be talking about how bad our generation is about. It was gone to the wayside then. And it's even more a problem now. We are so hung up on our personal recognition. Not to say that it is not nice to be recognized when you do something good. I'd be lying to you if I told you it isn't nice to have someone come and say, "Hey, great job," or "Thank you," or for you to receive the reward for the hard work that you've put in. But what I'm saying is that when we are talking about greatness and our own greatness, I want to ask you a question. What makes someone great? What do you think makes someone great? Is it how much money they get? Well, I think we can all in here think of people that got a lot of money that aren't very great. Is it personal achievements? and how much stuff we can do. And again, I think we can all point at people who have been very, very productive, and their greatness lording it over the people. You can be famous for the wrong reasons. I can't understand it right now. Our culture's infatuation with serial killers. It's kind of weird to me. I know some of you are like, ooh, I like those shows. It's just weird to me. It's just weird. I think those people should be forgotten. They're not great. It's not fame then. So what makes someone great? We have to see that in the kingdom of God, greatness takes on a different form. And it's not just a new idea. See, like we've talked about with our laws of the kingdom, these laws have been set up from the beginning. And while, yes, we're going to dissect this verse from the New Testament in Luke, this law of greatness has been divined from God long ago, and I want us to see it's how it's always been. And remember that just like the laws of God, God is always the same. He never changes. So if we can decide that we're going to hook up with what true greatness is, our lives are going to get better because we're going to be able to understand what the Lord considers great. Isaiah 12:2. There's a lot of verses that speak to this, but I think that this is really important. Isaiah 12:2. It says, "The Lord Almighty has a day in store for all the proud and lofty, for all that is exalted, and they will be humbled." God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. God opposes the proud. Pooh, but boy, man, do we not get puffed up? Do we not go looking? See, we are so concerned with being first here on earth that understanding what heaven is wanting kind of gets lost in all the us scraping and clawing and stepping over one another to get first in line for whatever it is here. Heaven takes a back seat to my turn, to my truth, to my peace, to my accomplishments. See, I really just want to get what I deserve, right? I want people to know how great I am. I mean, I don't want to rob the people being blessed by me. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with taking a position of seeking excellence in your life. What I'm asking you, though, is what is your motive for that excellence? Are you really so pursuing excellence because you want what it's going to produce for people around you? Again, go back to that greatness in your life void of goodness. Or is it really about, boy, I really like getting gold stars. Boy, I really like getting that piece of paper that I can put on the refrigerator so mama, every time she comes home, can look at it and tell me what a good boy. What are you? Why are you pursuing that excellence? You know, I used to get a kick, not just that, I've coached here at Christian Ministries Academy, and I've coached in public school. I used to always get a kick out of the boys who would come up to me after a loss in a ball game. We just lost. I mean, just lost the game. Hey, coach, do you know how many points I had? I think I had 16 points. Well, we lost by 27 because your guy scored 30. We lost the whole ball game, but we don't care because, did you see how many points I got? Do you see me? Did you see me make that one shot? I shot 12 times. Did you see that one? And then I put on the 3 goggles and I ran down the court and everybody got to see me. They used to crack me up. See, I don't want to just cheapen this law of greatness by only referencing sports, but I think through this example you can understand. Great players don't care if they score a single point so long as the team wins. See, great players, when the team loses and they had 30 at the end of the night, aren't going, I did everything I could do. They're looking at themselves in the mirror going, what could I have done to make sure that we got the W? Because so long as the team wins, that's the whole emphasis behind what we're doing. Greatness in your life is not about whether or not you got in the box score. It's about whether or not at the end, your team, the kingdom of God, got the win. What are you doing to advance the win? Some people just want to get in the newspaper. Hey, I got in there at the end and I got a couple points. Did you see that? Pride goes before the fall. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 verses 18 and 19 say, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Are you satisfied so long as you're getting the recognition, the praise, and the shine? See, that's not greatness. That's not super. It's just superficial. It's superficial accomplishment. It does nothing to advance the kingdom. See, the greatness that God's wanting to deposit on the inside of our life requires us that before we can enter into it, we have to check our egos at the door. If we want the greatness of God, if we want greatness that's going to produce not just for ourselves, but for the people around us, we have to check our egos at the door. It requires us to go, okay, it's not about me. And there's a lot of people that, I get it, the sun doesn't revolve around me. The universe literally does not revolve around us. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't have a part to play through you or that you're not an important part in someone's life. Understand, this is not like a self-hate, self-loathing kind of a message. This is how you get real greatness. You want to be really great? You want to truly be great at what you do? We have to get this in our hearts first. Let's go back to that Luke 22, chapter 22, verse 27. Jesus said, who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? He says, the one who sits at the table, of course. What he's doing is he's addressing culture. Culture says the table is what's the most important. The people who are sitting, the people who are just consuming, the people who are just receiving. But Jesus says, not so with us. For I am among you as the one who serves. Some of us want to be at the table so bad, listen, some of us want to be at the table so bad that we reject the opportunities to serve. We have to see that in order for us to get greatness in our life and bringing the kingdom of God on this earth requires us to get up from being just seated at the table and over into the server station going, where can I help? Where does this plate need to go? That's how we start getting greatness in our life. And greatness, true greatness, is required for us to get up out of our seat at the table and move over and start serving. The best model of greatness for us was modeled to us by Jesus, of course. Kind of around the same stories as John's account. John chapter 13, verses 2 through 8. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid outside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Jesus got up from the table, put on the garment of the server, and began to wash the disciples' feet. going to skip down a little bit. Verse 12. And it said, when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who has sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Some key points here as we're talking about the law of greatness and getting greatness into our lives from this story, which just expounds upon what we read earlier out of Luke. The key thing here is that Jesus knew what allowed Jesus to get up and serve the rest of the disciples was this. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knew who had sent him, and he knew where he was going. See, Jesus knew that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to go back to God. So that allowed him to rise up from the table, and he prepared himself to serve them. So many people can't get up and serve others because they don't have this on the inside of them. You don't understand who sent you, whose you belong to, and where you're getting ready to go. We think we have to get so much for ourselves. We have to pull so much in. We have to get all the acclaim, all the glory, because if I don't, then I'm going to be not worth something. Who gives you your worth? Who gives you your value? Who gives you the direction of your life? It's God. It's God. You should be able to get up from the table, son of God, daughter of God. You should be able to get up from the table and start serving people because of the perspective change that you should have had with an understanding of who you are. Greatness is not an achievement. Greatness has been placed inside of you. That's where true greatness is. That's where true greatness lies. Not in acclaim, not a praise of people, but in an identity in Christ. Being secured in who you are makes you bolder. Bold enough to serve. See, being secure in Christ allows you to the supernatural ability to serve without reservations. What I also love about this is that it shows us that the servant leader is the best kind of leader that we can have. Not the do as I say, but not as I do kind of leader, but the servant leader. I talk about them a whole lot because they mean a lot to me. But my leaders here at this church, as far as who's actually over me, in pastor and in Mel, are not just do as I say, but not as I do kind of leaders. They can lead me, not just because they're over me and I've chosen to submit to them. They lead me so well because they serve right alongside me. They don't care about the recognition. They don't care about getting the praise. They'll give me tips. They'll give me things to say. They'll show me how to do, you know, lead a meeting or do this or do that. And then people will come to me and tell me how great that was. And I'll go to them and say, man, people really liked what you told me to say. And they'll go, oh, that is so awesome. That is so great. They're not kicking themselves. Going, I sure wish he would have said something. How come I'm not getting that? They're servant leaders. You know, I put in some long days this week at the school. But you want to know who's put long days in right beside me and Rachel this week? Melanie. 13-hour, 14-hour, 15-hour days. Working. Working. I can't tell you how many times. Pastor Ashley's in here. Preparing a word, preparing a message. And he's here before I get here. And he's here after I leave, well into the night. That's true leadership. Parents, fathers, mothers, employees, employers. You want to be a leader? You want to have true greatness in your leadership? Be a servant leader. Be someone who gets up from the table and doesn't just let the help take care of it. Show them how to do it. And the last big point that I pull from this, before I close here, is that Jesus wasn't concerned with being taken advantage of. There's one key person who was there that got his feet washed. One really key, important person in the story of Jesus for all the wrong reasons. Judas was there. Judas was there. It's really easy to serve the beloveds. It's really easy to serve the people that come up to your face and say, I appreciate the heck out of you for what you do. It's really easy to serve the people that come up and pat you on the back and say, man, I tell you what, you're knocking it out. But are you serving the people that you already know couldn't have a lower opinion of you? Are you willing to serve? Judas got his feet washed. That low-down dog got his feet washed. But you know what? Each and every single one of us at some point in time have been that low-down dog, and Jesus got up and washed our feet. Judas ate the bread at the supper, and I ain't even getting into that. Judas ate at the Passover feast. And Jesus served him. This is my body for everyone except for you, Judas. You sinner, except for you. You snake. That's what true servant leadership looks like. But the ability to do that will never come into our life if we can't grasp onto the fact that that person was us at one time. That the grace and the mercy and the love that was poured out at one point in time, we were that Judas. We have to get to the place where at the center of our beliefs, we are firmly rested in the knowledge that we are from God, that we have been sent by God, and that one day, everything that's been done in secret, every sacrifice that you've had to make, moms, every sacrifice that you've had to make, dads, every slight, every single perceived thing that you've worked through and you've controlled and you've been able to hold in and do right, one day, it'll be settled. But where do you want your reward at? Where do you want your greatness at? Where do you want the pat on your back at? Where do you want to hear the well done at? I want my well done there. Then I'm going to have to submit. I'm going to have to lay my ego back out there. So then, real quick, if we want greatness, what must we truly do? We have to look to what Jesus said and to what Jesus did. Real fast here. John 12:26 says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Where's our leader at? Where's Jesus at? He's serving. We have to serve. Talking to the Wednesday night church, we have to serve. We have to serve in our homes. We have to serve at our jobs. We have to serve at our church. We have to serve. Where does our leader lead us? He leads us to serve everybody. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and gave his life as a ransom for many." We have to follow his lead. And following his lead means we have to drop our life. We have to drop our personal acclaim chasing, our award wanting, our desire to proclaim to the world our greatness. And let the greatness of the Holy One get on the inside of us. And the last verse here. John 13:16 says, "Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." True greatness looks like washing people's feet. Please don't come wash my feet, literally. But greatness looks like taking ourselves out of the place from the table and moving ourselves over into a place where we can serve and help others. People, the main key thing here is you have to see that true greatness comes into your life whenever you've laid everything else down and the knowledge that you are from God, you belong to God, and one day you'll be returned to God gives you the courage and the strength, the supernatural ability to live out and have true greatness in your life. That's kind of greatness that don't leave when your knees start getting bad. That's greatness that goes beyond, well, I retired now and I don't get to do this job that everyone used to tell me how great I was. It's greatness that continues on and on and on. And what you do is you leave a legacy of greatness. What I love about this church is that I can go down every single aisle and I can point out man and woman that are leaving a legacy of greatness for my children. Servant leaders. That I was going to name names, but you know what? I'm not even going to do that because you know who you are. People that I appreciate, people that this church needs. The greatness of God on the inside of you. That's the kind of greatness that God wants to put on the inside of us. And if we'll allow it to happen, the law of greatness will be effective in our life.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church. It's family.